Okay, there's a phrase. I've heard this phrase a lot. I've had people tell me this phrase. And it says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That isn't necessarily true, is it? Now, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Well, not necessarily. I'm going to talk about addictions today. I'm going to talk about addictions today. And, you know, we deal with all many, many forms of addictions. So it's not like one form. If you've got something that you're struggling with, it doesn't make you a bad person, but it's something we all need to be aware of, because quite frankly, we're all addicted to sin, are we not? That's probably the bottom line. So any addiction that a person may have, there's a long list of addictions. Now I looked up the definition of addiction. There's two definitions. I love this first one. This is right out of Webster's Dictionary. Definition of addiction, the state of being an addict. Well, that really helps a lot. I don't know. Webster should have had a little help on that one. But so what's an addict? And look that up. It says to devote or surrender oneself to something habitually or obsessively. Now, the second definition of addiction is a little easier for us to comprehend here. It says a compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance. And it mentions in parentheses, as in heroin, nicotine, alcohol, many, many other things. That's just what Webster has here. Characterized by tolerance and by well-defined physiological symptoms upon withdrawal. Broadly speaking, it says persistent compulsive use of a substance known by the user to be harmful. If we know it's harmful and you can't, well then, it's an addiction. Now, I don't even know if this channel's on TV anymore, but years ago, I watched on this channel, VH1. Again, I don't even know if it's on TV. I probably got like, honestly, we've got so many channels, and most of them I've never even turned to. Sometimes I turn on one of those Spanish channels just to act like I understand Spanish. I have no idea what they're saying, but they do a lot of hand gestures. But anyway, I watched on VH1 some documentaries on some of the recording artists that when I grew up that were pretty famous. In fact, I'm reading a book right now that's pretty interesting about the history of Motown. Now, if you're my age or near it, you know, that's a pretty interesting book, some of the stuff that went on, much of which wasn't good, but that's not the point. So anyway, I watched this, and almost every one of these recording artists talked about how they got hooked on, you know, what would be called recreational drugs, but it's really, you know, some bad stuff. And almost every one I saw just about talked about how they regretted that they ever got involved in this. Now, these men and women, in most cases, had plenty of money. So they could go, you know, to some clinic or whatever and had all the best treatments, but how many people have that? But yet, anything that addicts you is ruling over you. And again, I'm not talking about any one specific thing, but we're going to look at something specific in the latter part of this sermon, because I find it's a very, very prevalent situation that we all need to be aware of, whether you've ever had this problem or not. But the addiction is ruling over you. Now, often we may say, well, I can stop this anytime I want to, but yet can we? Because you're addicted to whatever this may be. So if it's so bad for you and you think you can stop anytime you want to, then why don't we stop? Why don't we stop? The answer is, you're addicted. It's ruling over you. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you, doesn't mean God doesn't love you or me, because we're all, let's face it again, we're all addicted to sin. So there's all these other kind of addictions, but that's one addiction, sin, that rules over all of it. Now, that it's a tragedy, but it all begins, every addiction begins with sin. Begins with sin. No matter whether it's an eating disorder or alcoholism, I mean, you name it, begins with doing something you know you shouldn't do. Now, advertisers, they often start with teenagers, and they point the advertisers for teenagers, or even younger sometimes, because they encourage the weaker to try these things, whatever it may be. They say it's going to be okay. Then after a while, the person's addicted. Why is it so important to fight an addiction? Well, let's look at a very familiar scripture, but I thought that we could begin back in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. We'll go into the whole thing, but because you know the story, but notice what happened here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Of course, this is after Adam and Eve had already sinned and thrown out of the garden because of sin, was it not? Well, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, because didn't tell you all about why he respected Abel's offering. Yet, verse 5, God didn't respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, didn't like the fact that God didn't appreciate and respect his offering. Cain was very angry, his countenance fell. He got that sour look on his face, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? Why do you have this look on your face? It's attitude. God told Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, say, Cain, just change your attitude. If you don't do well, notice, sin lies at the door. That's what could happen to you, Cain. Sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. And Cain, you should rule over it, over that. But we know what happened to Cain. He didn't rule over it, and he went out and killed his brother and then tried to lie about it, and on it went. Sad, sad story. Now, over in the Gospel of John, let's look at the words of Jesus Christ when he was talking to the men and women here in the area. It was Galilee, I believe. Actually, may have been in Jerusalem, because in verse 1 of chapter 8, he went to his own house. Everyone went to their own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, which was near Jerusalem. Jesus is saying some things, but down in verse 30 through 34, here's what Jesus is saying to the men and women there. Verse 30, he spoke these words. Many believed in him. So I could go back and read all the words of this chapter. But many were believing in Jesus Christ when he spoke these words. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And they answered him. They didn't like this answer, but he told them the truth. They said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So we all have sinned, but when you can keep sinning in an area that you know, then you're a slave to sin. And quite frankly, humans from time on, in many, many ways, all of us to some degree certainly, have been a slave to sin. And we needed a Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's another sermon or more in itself. But dropping down to verse 37, Jesus is talking to them, and they don't like what he's saying. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in red. He says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. To kill Jesus. Whoa. Why? Because my word has no place in you. They didn't like what he was telling them. He was telling them what they needed to hear. They didn't like it. He said, I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. Well, who is their father? Well, they answered and said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you now seek to kill me. A man who told you the truth. Jesus told them the truth. And I heard it from God. Abraham didn't do this. Verse 41. He said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we weren't born of fornication. We have one father, God. Accused him of being illegitimate. God is our father, they said. Well, he did not end there. He made them even madder because he told them the truth. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and I came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he, God the Father, sent me. What do you not understand my speech? And then he answers his question, because you're not able to listen to my word. They were so engrossed in this sin of hatred and anger. Then he even makes them madder. You're of your father, the devil. Do you think a self-righteous hypocrite is going to take that? You're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, well, who is their father? The devil, he said. You want to do. Tell them you want to be just like the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he, the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar. And he, the devil, is the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Said Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ never sinned, did he not? And if I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me? So Christ told the Pharisees that they were affected by Satan. Hey, we're all affected by Satan in many ways in our life. Cain, he couldn't get it. He went out and killed his brother. Look at the history. I could turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and say, read how many were blinded by Satan. And yet a lot of things that passes for the truth today, a lot of things that passes for Christianity today, is anything but Christian. It's anything but Christian, a lot of things. For instance, think about this. Is there any true Christian? Is there any true Christian that's going to say that abortion's okay? Is there? Is there any true Christian that's going to say it's okay to take illegal drugs? Is there any true Christian that's going to say it's okay for two men to marry each other? Or two women to marry each other? Is any true Christian going to say that? Is any true Christian going to say adultery is okay? Yet, in our world today, numerous ones that claim to be Christian will say each of those things I just mentioned are just fine, and they'll call themselves a Christian. They're not a Christian. They may have a semblance, but if you believe these things and say these things, that's not being a Christian, because they're clearly laid out in the Bible. Yes, they're gray areas, But they're black and white areas too, are they not? How are the things mentioned above okay if you believe the Bible? Now, often in response, if you say something like this, you'll be told, oh, you're intolerant. You're just intolerant. You pick and choose what you want to believe. They'll tell you that if you dig deep. Yet isn't this what false Christianity does all the time? They pick and they choose what they want to believe. I've been told that if you tell a lie often enough, it's almost easier to get away with a big lie than a small lie. Yet they're all lies, aren't they? A large lie sometimes can be so outrageous that it's easier to pull off than a small lie. Now, there are all kinds of addictions. I won't mention them all. You can think of some. But I want to focus the remainder of this sermon. Then we can discuss this and other things. You know, it's not just this, but other things. I want to focus on one area in this world I'm very concerned about, and that is, and follow me here, I want to focus on the misuse of pharmaceutical drugs. Again, I am not against medicine. I'm for medicine. I remember back about 15 years ago that I never even thought about my blood pressure. Never considered I could my blood pressure wouldn't be normal. But one day I woke up and my whole right eye was all blurry. And it didn't go away, so I had to go to the doctor, and they sent me another doctor, and they said I had a mini stroke in my right eye. And I still, my right eye is not 20/20. Well, neither one's without contacts, but can't get my right eye completely 20/20. But when I went to the doctor, he told me that normally, when something like this happened, a person would either be a diabetic or have high blood pressure. I said, well, I don't have high blood pressure, and I'm not a diabetic. Then they took my blood pressure, and I had high blood pressure. So a friend of mine who was a doctor I went to school with and back in Tennessee, he prescribed me a blood pressure medicine. It wasn't a real, you know, how to describe it, one of the real, whatever the word is, radical ones or whatever the case may be, but that and then so there's a couple of things I've taken for years for my blood pressure. So please get me to make this clear. I'm for medicine. I'm not against in any way pharmaceuticals, but we can misuse them because I've seen it. So I want to focus. I think this misuse of pharmaceutical drugs has become a larger and larger issue in the world today. Now, I heard just this week, in the last year, over 100,000 Americans died from overdose or whatever you want to say of pain medication. Again, no way against this. There's a lot of good things. Doctors can do a lot of things. Many amazing things have happened in the healthcare field over the last 150, 25, 10, 5, even the last couple of years. Probably even the last year. Now, when I graduated from college, University of Tennessee, I went to work for a company named American Hospital Supply. And I worked in healthcare much of my life in the distribution end of it. Sometimes people say, well, what did you sell? Well, the best way to describe a healthcare distribution company, it's sort of like a grocery store for hospitals. Because, you know, a grocery store, they get all these products in various places, do they not? And a distributor, and we were the largest in the country at that time, we covered basically any type of product that a hospital used except pharmaceuticals. Why do we not sell pharmaceuticals? Because the drug pharmaceutical company, that's a separate category. They have their separate category for pharmaceuticals and then for the rest of the hospital. Now, we had a few products that had pharmaceuticals in them, but overall, We just know the basic nuts and bolts of healthcare. So the pharmaceutical companies have their own sales force. So certainly, again, let me make it clear, I'm for medicine, not against it. I remember once my mother was in the hospital and she fell off a horse. In fact, I was supposed to be going to the feast in Czechoslovakia that year, of all places. I never made it to Czechoslovakia. But my mother fell off a horse and broke her hip. So she was in the hospital, so I didn't feel comfortable going too far away, so we just went to Johnson City for the feast. But it was a very painful thing. It took her quite a while to get back up to speed. And then when she finally got back up to speed, the very first day she was cleared, she went to this facility where she could do some swimming, and she tripped and fell and broke her other hip. Was back in the hospital again. Didn't think a whole lot about it other than the fact that it was concerned, but I happened to be in that hospital. It was a Sunday morning. I remember I was just myself there and my mother, and the doctor came in. My mother had a list of these medications, of which I don't even know what they were. It's certainly not my place to say what was good and what may have not been so good. But this doctor looked at her medication. He said, "Oh, you take," and I have no idea what the name of the medication was. I just know he says, "Oh, your mother takes this." He says, "You know, that's a real good medicine, except it tends to cause osteoporosis." Well, she didn't know that when it was assigned to her to take. Again, I don't even know what the medication was. I don't know for sure that it wouldn't have been good for her to take it. But here my mother developed osteoporosis, thin bones, and has always had thin bones. If she would fall, she was in danger of, and she had taken that one particular thing for years. Well, why didn't they explain this to her? I know a girl or a woman, one of my accounts back in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And she told me one day that she went to the doctor, she had some issue with her heart, and they prescribed her a medication. She started taking, and it was for a week or two, and it was bothering her, having a reaction to it. And she called the doctor's office, and the nurse said, "Oh, you can never stop taking that medication. You have to take that medication the rest of your life, or you could die." Again, I don't know what the medication was, but she said, "Well, nobody told me I could die if I quit taking this." And you see, this one thing heals this, another thing. So again, it doesn't mean medication's wrong. That's not the point. But all these prescriptions. Now, I read a very good book. I don't know how many of you like to read. But if you like to read nonfiction, I could recommend a very good book. The name of it is Pharma. P-H-A-R-M-A. Pharma. It was written by an investigative reporter, and he was very fair. He's written a number of books. He's written a book on the Kennedy assassination. He's written a book on just a number of things. He's probably 10 books. He's well known in the industry. But he wrote this book entitled Pharma. The name of the author is Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, Posner, P-O-S-N-E-R. And I don't know particularly why I found this book, but it was fascinating. It's about 600 something pages, so it's not an easy, quick read. But he took back the history of pharmaceutical medicine starting back over 100 years ago. And I could see some of these things as I was growing up, because it really started picking up the pace back in the mid-50s or so forth. But it covers the beginning of this to some degree, not the beginning, but when it was really becoming popular. I talked a lot about penicillin, which was considered the wonder drug when it came out. And you start seeing all these things. And it was extremely interesting. It's very fair. He was not against the medications, but he was against some of these companies that were using these numerous medications to just become rich, even to the point that we're not worried about what the side effects may have been. Again, all I would say here is, wouldn't you want to consult your doctor and ask what the side effects are, or read up on the side effects of things? Because sometimes you could find what they call some wonder drugs. But you could also find some things that really, quite frankly, may not help a lot. So, in this book, Pharma, by Gerald Posner, page 492. Now, again, there's a lot of things I could state here. But page 492, it states something that you and I probably know without having to even be told. But who is the largest consumer of prescription drugs in the world? And that, of course, is the United States. And he said in the book, quotes on that page 492, in 2013, the average person in the United States would buy or have to buy about $850 a year of pharmaceuticals. Again, that doesn't sound like a lot these days. I got something in the mail the other day. I've got the Medicare, then I got a Medicare supplement, and then I've got a I can open my wallet, but it's the pharmaceutical side, you know, for medicines. And I got the, every year you get something that tells you what your monthly cost is going to be. And when I got it, I only have two medications I take. It said, congratulations, your monthly price is going down. I thought, wow, that's great. That's wonderful, my monthly price. Then I looked at my two medications. They have what they call tier 1, 2, 3, and 4. Tier 1 is the most common, a lot of generics. Tier 4 is very, very expensive and very, very... both my medications were tier 1, and I'd never, whenever I'd go to the hospital, to the doctor, if I had to fill it, I never had to pay anything because it was part of the monthly prescription or monthly cost. But one of mine changed to tier 2. And I looked at it and it said something like, I have a $450, copay before I start. I thought, well, that was really false advertising, but it happens all the time. But so I'm paying more. Oh yeah, they told me my price went down as long as I didn't use my medication. Nice job there. Thank you, United Healthcare. Somebody's screaming at me. Calm down. It's not that bad. but anyway, it's gone up. It was over $1,000 a person average in 2015. But there's some of these medications that are very expensive. Now, OxyContin became the largest painkiller narcotic. It was released in 2004. So that wasn't that long ago. Less than 20 years ago. This narcotic, initially it was often prescribed by doctors for pain medication for certain surgeries and certain cases where a person was basically in the late stages of a disease that they were close to death. But OxyContin and all the various forms of it, I remember Penny had a procedure several years ago, 10 or so years ago, maybe longer than that, when we were living in Chattanooga, living in Georgia, and she had a prescription, and she told them that she, please do not prescribe her anything with codeine in it, because she had a reaction to that, she said. So they gave her the prescription, and after the surgery, she took whatever it was, and she said the whole room was spinning around, and she said, well, look and see what that was. It was codeine. It didn't say codeine per se, but it said something, blah, 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 dodeine. I think, oh, codeine. So she called the doctor's office. It was a Friday afternoon. Or maybe I called because the room was spinning around on you. And the doctor's office said, well, we can't do anything until Monday when the doctor's back. So we just quit taking it. Just took shit. I'd rather have the pain than seeing the room spinning around like you're on a vertigo or something. But OxyContin became the largest painkiller. It was released in 2004, released by a company called Purdue. And there's a long history about the owners of Purdue. I mean, go back and do a little research where that came from. Again, I'm not saying a lot of people get prescribed that when you have a surgery or something. That's not something I'm trying to dispute, but it was quite clear that when it started being misused, they hid that from the general public as much as possible. Now this OxyContin, as I said, it's often prescribed by doctors for pain medication, those with certain surgeries, but it got to the point to where the pharmaceutical reps and managers knew which doctors prescribed it the most. And some doctors would prescribe it almost exclusively to the point of on and on, because it wasn't supposed to be something you had to take just on and on and on. It was for something like that. And yet, when it was released, this particular OxyContin, it was for a 30-day supply. Again, this was back around 2004-05. For a 30-day supply, the average price in the United States was $265 for a 30-day supply. But in Europe, the same product, page 492 of this book, was $72, because the markup in the United States was 400% higher than the markup in Europe. Why? Because they knew they could make the money. And the drug and other similar categories became one of the biggest causes of addiction in the United States today. Many have died getting addicted to this class of drugs, whether it's OxyContin or all the various knockoffs. Why do I know? I had two members, one was a member and one was a daughter of a member, die because they took so much of that. Because the more they took, the more they thought they had, because they weren't getting whatever it was they needed, they thought. I had to do one funeral, and the other gentleman actually died after I moved, but two died because they took so much of that their heart gave out. Again, it's, you look at all this stuff like fentanyl, heroin, you know, all these things, and quite frankly, take a look at what's in that medicine, you'll be surprised. But again, it's the misuse of these products that's the problem. So why am I so aware of this? Because one of the members that wasn't a member, the daughter of a member, I had to do her funeral. And they found her dead in her apartment. And her heart just gave out. And the other particular person talked to me a lot about this and a lot about how he was addicted, but he just couldn't get off of it. I'm not saying he couldn't have, but he wasn't strong enough, didn't have the help. Now, was he a bad person? No, he was a great guy, a wonderful person. But when he would get this, whatever it was, overdose or, you know, continual, he would have all types of weird ideas. He even sent me an email once and told me that I and another minister, who you know the name, but they're not from here, that the Chinese were going to take us and put us on a boat and send us overseas and eat us. It sounds humorous, but he hallucinated. He thought that. It's amazing. Now, it's not my responsibility to tell you or anybody else what medication to take. That's between you and your doctor. What I'm saying, I know people that have become addicted to OxyContin and the derivatives of it. So I have the right to talk about what's going on. It's like it's not my responsibility to tell about a lot of things medical-wise because it's not my job. My job is to try to point you and me toward being a Christian and realizing that there's a lot of dangerous things out there in this world. That being one of them. Now, about ready to wrap this up here. I strongly encourage you to know the positive and negatives of any medication you may take. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I strongly encourage you. Do you just take? Do you go? I mean, when I was in Tennessee, I had some customers in the big cities like Nashville, and then I had customers in some of the rural places. And there was one big billboard I'd always see from one hospital back in a rural area. And this particular hospital had a big billboard, and it was talking about, if you need open heart surgery, we are the place to go. But if you check into it, that particular hospital did less than 20 open heart surgeries a year. Where you could go to somewhere like Vanderbilt Medical Center or St. Thomas Medical Center or Baptist Medical Center, they would do thousands in some cases. So wouldn't you want to go to have your open heart surgery where they do a lot of them? And you check out the doctor. You don't just take, like, well, whatever doctor they give me. But yet people do it all the time. I have more experience in the area of hospitals than most of you, maybe even all of you. I've dealt with that business for a long time. So we all have the possibility of being addicted and being controlled by certain things. And I've often heard, I just can't control it. Well, we need to ask God for help, do we not? We need to ask God for help. I have people call me sometimes, you need to solve my problem. I can't solve your problem. I can tell you what the Bible says. Then you're on your own. With your friends and your doctors, whatever the case may be, you know, there's a limit. Because there's many times I've told people over the years, in various areas in church, I can say some things, and then quite frankly, I would rather point a person toward professionals and counseling and various things, professionals that deal with this, because sometimes I get told, well, you need to tell me what to do. Just like I have to deal with issues in my life, and you have to deal with issues in your life. And we need to draw close to God. So what does God say? I'm going to read one other scripture. Then we'll close, have a closing prayer. And then we'll come back and discuss anything you want to know about this or any other subject you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk or as short as you want to talk. But over in 1 Peter, because I think this world is getting harder and harder to live in. And if we're a Christian, as it says, we'll get more and more, there's more and more to be concerned about. Because this world is not getting in an easier place to live. But yet God is God. God knows what He's doing. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's one thing I would encourage you to think about. And I need to think about. That is verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God can do anything. God can do anything, but we also have to do our own, and we have to humble ourselves under God to see what God tells us to do. That He may exalt you in due time. In this life, you probably won't be that exalted. I probably won't be that exalted. But it doesn't matter. This is just a training ground for the kingdom of God, is it not? It says, cast all your care upon Him, a care of God, on God. Why? Because He cares for you. God, we care for each other, or should, certainly should, but God cares for you. He wants the best for you and wants the best for me. Wants the best for mankind, although mankind doesn't seem to be, in many cases, listening to him. That's like people say, oh, I don't believe in, oh, it's okay to do these things, you know, abortions and all the things we talked about, you know, same-sex marriage, all these things. God doesn't care. Yes, he does care. Yes, he does care. And the more we know, the more God expects from us. God's a forgiving God. God's a forgiving God, and we can be thankful for that. God, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, and he's your adversary, he's my adversary. He was Satan. He was Cain's adversary. Cain gave in, did he not? Your adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. It's not a game. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. God says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, strive to resist Satan, and ask God for his help. God will forgive you, God will forgive us, but God expects us to try.